listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 111 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by SB Live. My name's Kyle Sutherland, alongside Nate Olson. We have reached the NCAA finals, the basketball finals of Arkansas Prep football, prep basketball. Still got a few more weeks before we get into the NCAA finals there, but for now we've got, for Thursday through Saturday in Hot Springs at Bank OZK Arena. Starting with 3 and 4A this weekend. And Nate, as always, it just goes so fast. It doesn't matter what sport it is. I think with basketball, it might be a little bit faster because you start in October with the small classes. We really don't get into the meat of it until the beginning of the new year around January 1st. And then here we are, as soon as you blink your eyes, ready for the state finals.
Yeah, you're right. The NCAA tournament doesn't start, but it's March Madness is in full swing here. There's no question about that. In January 6th, I was at the conference opener with Jonesboro and at Bryant in a doubleheader. That seems like the other day. It was a couple months ago. So the conference season goes by very quickly, especially for those basketball-playing schools and the bigger schools that don't really get a team together until after, you know, the football season, which ends a lot for some teams in December. So it does go quick, January and February quick. You start the district tournaments early for the small classes, and then everybody else joins them with the state tournament last week. And we had some fantastic finishes and some very good games, and looks like 12 very interesting matchups to break down for the state championships that will be held at Bank OZK Arena in Hot Springs.
And as no shock, if you've been paying attention for the last couple of years, it was Little Rock Central who pretty much wreaked havoc in the 6A state tournament, really starting with that upset of Fort Smith Northside. I know this was a Northside team that people were really high. Of course, every single year you put Northside in the contender category, but this was one that you thought would probably make another run to the state finals like they did in 2022. But Little Rock Central has just been really that 2022 team that beat Conway in the quarterfinals. That group of sophomores at that particular time are now very experienced seniors led by Jordan Marshall. There's really about three or four of them that you could probably name, but Jordan Marshall was the star for the Lady Tigers throughout that state tournament run. But the 6A Central Conference, we've talked about the strength of it all season. We really were shown that once we got into the semifinals, as you had a Little Rock Central, North Little Rock matchup, then Conway and Cabot. So the 6A Central Conference flexed its muscle, but now Little Rock Central, it's really just kind of come full circle for the most point. Now that Little Rock Central, these seniors, in their last game, they get a chance to beat Conway for their first ever state championship after upsetting Conway, who was the heavy favorite in 2022. Just a lot of headlines here when you think about the last few seasons.
Yeah, we discussed Central on the front row with Budrow and Randy last Friday or Tuesday, it would have been, and how they were kind of Jekyll and Hyde this year. You know, you don't know what to expect from them, but, you know, he said, I think you need to look out for them. And I said, whenever you've got a team that has that sort of history of an upset, that coach is still there. Some of those kids are there. There's no question you've got to be leery of them in the tournament. And I told him, it'd be interesting to talk to Ashley Hutchcraft about this. But I said, and now they're going to meet in the title game. But I said, I think that is something that every season, maybe before the season and especially during the tournament, you talk about that with every ball club, that was such a huge upset. I mean, I think we talked about it at the time, that it may be the biggest upset I've ever seen in the 20 plus years I've been here. When you talk about a team who was boat raced two straight times, 40 points plus then comes back and wins in the tournament over a team that, you know, we thought was an overwhelming favorite to win the whole thing. I think that's got to be a cautionary tale that she mentions at every tournament now, because that, I mean, it's a very good example of how anything can happen. We talk about just get in the tournament, just get in, and then you can see everybody's 0-0. Definitely happened with the Tigers, and now Central playing Conway for a championship, which most of us would not have thought would have happened. And beating North Little Rock on their home court was another huge game, another giant killer type win for the Tigers.
Yeah, Central was the four seed out of the 6A Central Conference. Of course, Conway was the one seed winning the conference championship there. But the roles have really, they've kind of reversed, because Conway does have a pretty experienced team. You look at the juniors that they're led by, Emery Bohannon, Samia Jordan. There's just there's a few of them there that you just point out that, or they have a few seniors, but mostly led by juniors. And last season, they were led, and even that 2022 year, you're led by Chloe Clardy, you're led by Savannah Scott, two future P5 players. Well, now, in terms of experience, at least senior experience, the roles have reversed. Like I said, you've got Jordan Marshall there leading the way, Avon Sasser, just to name a couple. There's just about, like I said, three or four that you could point at that have really been key contributors over the last few seasons. So that's what it's really going to be interesting to see. I mean, other than North Little Rock, I think, what is it, the last 3 or 4 years, other than North Little Rock, that this Central team is the last one, they're the only other one to beat them, to beat Conway, because they beat them in the quarterfinals. Then they beat them the next year, and I believe it was the first conference game. Conway's won the last four. So just I really just like this matchup here again, because I think that on paper, you look at both of them, like you said, Central been a little bit Jekyll and Hyde. They've played a really tough schedule, as Conway has. But as we have seen, this is not one of those, man, in a state championship, it's never a gimme type game. But any team, I think what I'm getting at here is Little Rock Central probably would probably scare somebody that maybe is a Conway fan more so than maybe a North Little Rock or a Northside would, just because they know the history between these two teams over the last few years.
Oh, yeah. That's still fresh in your mind if you're connected to that program. And looking at the scores, it was in January at Conway, a blowout, 62-44, with the Wampus Cats winning. But then a totally different story. February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day, 57-44, Conway hangs on to win at Central. So the last time they met, a very close ball game. I think that the difference in this game could be Jordan Marshall. I think an underrated player. When we talk about outstanding women talent, women's talent, going to La Tech, seems like a player that kind of thrives in big games. I think she's very happy to be playing in this, to have a chance. And the coaching staff has done a terrific job of coaching in big games. You go back to that game that we mentioned. You go back to the Northside games this year, last year. Getting all the way to the title game. It seems like they thrive in the tournament with the X's and O's. But when you've played someone this many times, you know, you play them twice every year, it often comes down to, you know, who's going to make the most plays, who's going to have somebody step up. There are certain things that you can do, some wrinkles and chess match stuff. And you've seen that before. I'll go back to football. When Brian beat North Little Rock, they played them the regular season and lost in that comeback, and then came back in the championship game, played guys that hadn't played defense all year long, shifted things around, run-oriented defense, stopped them. They did the same thing with Fayetteville, did a bunch of different personnel changes, you know. So you can do things like that to mix things up, and there probably will be some of that stuff. But I don't know how much you can do in a week. And so I think it comes down to, does a player like Marshall have a huge game and make plays down the stretch in the fourth quarter? If she's able, I think she's one of the best players on the court. Maybe Conway's got a little better team overall talent, but having a big play player is very important this time of year. Somebody that you can get the ball to the final 4 minutes and get some points or get to the foul line She's a player that can do that. I think somebody who's ready for the prime time moment and ready to put Central on the map for good here.
Then in Class 5A, something that probably most people projected throughout the season, you've got a rematch of last year between Greenwood and Bologna. Now, Nate, Greenwood, really the last 2 years, I think it's probably safe to say that nobody was going to stop them. And you could probably say that about them this year, too. I mean, they've been a machine, really, since they've lost that game against Mountain Home in January. But you got to think about, too, this was a Bologna team that I know we've been very high on all year. Pretty much everyone in the state has, and rightfully so. And they're a lot more healthy than they were, at least from what all signs I have seen. They're a lot healthier than what they were this time last year. Just played against Green, and they're not going to make an excuse for it, but they played Greenwood very banged up. But at the same time, too, you've got to look at it as, and I know Bologna had the win over Greenwood, what was it, back in like November, early in the season. So you definitely have to take that into account, that just the talent that Bologna has. You look at their trio of Maddie Mannion, of Sydney Middleton, and then also too, Lexi Heston, the senior. And then on the other side, you've got the senior trio of Anna Trusty, Brooklyn Woolsey, Carly Sexton. So that right there, those three kind of lead each team. And again, I think that really at their best, both of these have been the two best 5A teams this season. But really, as we always say, when especially you're a multi-time defending champion, you are the favorite really until somebody else proves otherwise. But I think that they've got a great Bologna team that they're going up against again that should be or expects to be a lot more healthy than they were this time last year.
I did the live update of the Bologna Green County Tech game. That's a good team that they played. Some very dominating posts inside. They got them in foul trouble. They made some big shots, and the fourth quarter really belonged to them. That you can tell a well-coached team, a team that the moment's not too big for them. But I think what it really comes down to here is, you know, you to be a state champion, sometimes you have to get over the hump, and you know, beating a dominant team like Greenwood. That's what Bologna has to do to really establish themselves as a power. You know, like Ric Flair said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. In this case, it's a woman, women, but it's the same adage. You know, to be the best team, you've got to beat a team who's a dynasty, and you've got to beat one of the best coaches that's ever coached women's basketball in Clay Reeves. That's what you're up against. But if you do that, you automatically get respect. So I think if you're in a – you're in that situation, you're in that Bologna camp, you like this situation because we are automatically going to pick Greenwood and most of the media that you're going to go along with it. They've won the games, they've done it, and why wouldn't you pick them? I think that's a great situation to be in for Bologna, though. I think most coaches, if they have their preference, they like to be the underdog, and that's why you've got teams that are really good that go out and say, hey, we're not getting any respect. Even though they're undefeated or something and getting all kinds of, you know, like the Chiefs are saying, we don't get respect to that. They're three, you know, two-time Super Bowl champs and saying that stuff. So they're doing that to try to rally themselves, to convince themselves that they're underdogs. That coaches like that stuff. But they're definitely the underdog in this game. But I don't think that you definitely count them out at all. And I think you watch some tape of that Mountain Home game. What did Mountain Home do? And watch the tape of it, you know, when they won earlier. So a lot has changed since then. I think this will be a good game. I think Bologna really impressed me in that game against Green County Tech. And so I think that this will be good to go down to the wire. From the Greenwood perspective, you got to feel great about you've been there, you've done it. You've got players on your roster that are college-type players that have been in these moments, and you've got a coach who – has been in lots of these moments. That's a recipe for a lot of wins in the state tournament.
And this has the storylines of possibly, and I'm just speaking hypothetically here, but possibly turning the tide. This is what Bologna is trying to do. Jeremy Simon, he's still a young coach, very established, but still a young coach that's trying to start a dynasty of his own. And really, Greenwood has been in the way of a lot of teams, including Bologna. Bologna's had a very good girls basketball program for a long time. But as you said, Clay Reeves is going for number 11 overall, eighth with the Lady Bulldogs. But then you've got on the other side there, a Valonia team that's extremely young. You've got a very experienced player and senior Lexi Heston. But then other than her, it's you got Maddie Mannion that's a sophomore. You got Sydney Middleton that's just a junior that seems like Sydney Middleton's been around forever. You've got multiple freshmen and sophomores that are contributing to this team. So I do believe if it's not this year, this Valonia team, many of the girls on this Valonia team, if it's not this year, I do believe that they're going to get a state championship at some point. But that's their goal right now. With this season, they're going to try to turn the tide and start a dynasty of their own, just like Greenwood has been doing for so long.
That's a great goal. Simon's a terrific coach. You could see that in that game. And the way that you do that, like I said, you beat the champion. They win this game. They're going to be favored to win the title next year, most likely. You've got a lot of everybody come back, but they don't want to wait till next year. And those seniors that you mentioned, they want to win now. And, you know, it can happen. But that's how you get started dynasty. You got to win one to win a few. And so if they could win that this year, they would be in the proverbial driver's seat to continue that. But I'm really looking forward to seeing this game. I think this is going to be a good girls basketball game, two talented teams, and a coach who is on the come up and a guy who is already there, a Hall of Fame type coach. And I know Clay, terrific guy. Talked to him after he won the 700, just a very, very humble guy. I know he's got a ton of respect for Simon, even though he's younger, and that team over there. You know, that's the beauty of Greenwood and all sports. And they dominate in some of these sports, but they don't ever underestimate their opponent. And I think all the coaches in all these sports have a ton of respect for the teams they play. They have a lot of confidence in their team and their ability to win, but they also are very humble and realize that, you know, if they don't come ready to play, they could lose because they've got a bullseye on their chest every time they step on the court or the football field. You know that with football, Kyle. I mean, that comes with winning, is that everybody is ready for you, and Valonia would love nothing more than to prove everybody wrong and win this year.
Quite possibly the team of any of the state finals, boys or girls, that has their hands full is the Morrilton Lady Devil Dogs. Now, I was really high on this team, even though, you know, that was something that Coach McNabb had talked about, that they're going to look different this year, but mainly just because of their personnel, but not really in a bad way. I still always put them anytime, along with Farmington and Nashville, anytime you're talking about 4A, you got to throw Morrilton in there. I know Clinton has been one, you know, that's really – stepped up in the last few years. Well, after they moved up to 4A, Gravett showed a lot of promise this year, and there's plenty of others that you could name as well. But I mean, Morrilton to me, Brooklyn as another that has come up through the ranks. But Morrilton really over the last few years, along with Nashville and Farmington, has kind of been that third one that you always point to. So it's not a shock that they are going to face off against Farmington for the state championship. Now, Nashville, they play now. Everybody got accustomed to seeing Nashville and Farmington play in the finals, but of course they played in the semis, and Farmington won that handily, as they have won all of their games this year other than Duncanville from Texas. So all the teams they've played in state, Nate, this year, I mean, really, you think about the first Gravett game and 4A1 play, Gravett hung with them till about the fourth quarter, and then Farmington ran away with it. What makes you believe, and this is nothing against Morrilton, you could put any team just about in the state in their spot, and I would say the exact same thing. What gives you any hope that Morrilton can win this game or at least keep up with Farmington from what you've seen thus far?
No disrespect, but I don't think anything, but I think that you could put any team in this spot.
Right.
Say the same thing. You know, they're the number one ranked team in all classes. I mean, I think at some point you've got to look at where they fit nationally too, Kyle. I mean, not in our Power 25. You win this game, I think you've got a case to be in that bottom 20. I don't know that'll happen, but certainly a very, very good dominant basketball team. It could beat teams that are in bigger classes. But let's give a lot of credit to Morrilton for getting here. I think Coach McNabb is one of the more underrated coaches. She runs a great program there. There's a lot of good athleticism through the history of that team. She gets them all to play together. You know, they've had success in softball too there. That's a good athletic program overall. and also a good women's athletic department. You've got a lot of sports that win the women's sports, and overall at Morrilton, just a good school district, a good high school. We've talked a lot about different sports, their men's program with Joseph Pinion and football and all that. So they've done a terrific job to get here. Nobody's picking them to win, and it's even less than what Valonia would probably have in their, you know, in their corner, the odds. But again, you know, at Morrilton, they're practicing right now, getting ready for this game, and they're believing they can win it. I mean, I am a firm believer that, you know, you play the games for a reason. There's a reason why you play, and anything can happen. But Brad Johnson is a terrific coach, and he has got a lot of talent. Brochier's inside is really dominant, and what they did to Nashville, you know, I would like to think that if it was on a neutral court, it might be different. I think playing the energy that was evident at Farmington sounded like that was as good as atmosphere as you're ever going to see anywhere. And that definitely probably had an effect on Nashville. But if you played that in a neutral court, I don't know that the results are different. I think Farmington is just that good. And Nashville was a team we thought that might, you know, some people were saying that was a title game. It wasn't close. So they're thinking that this game won't be close either. Probably right. And more of a compliment to Farmington than a criticism of Morrilton. I think you could, like I said, you could put anybody in this spot, and Farmington's going to be the choice.
And we'll touch more into this part that I'm about to mention next week, kind of once we know the results. Because like you said, right now, we just don't have any reason to believe. Like, as far as the game is concerned, we don't have any reason to believe that. And again, you could put, it doesn't matter if you have Conway or the 93 Bulls in that slate, like across from them. We're probably going to pick Farmington the way that they're playing right now. That's no slight to Morrilton or whoever. I mean, the way that I compare it is Duncanville, Texas, essentially, and I mean this with respect, but I'm just telling the truth. They essentially ran Conway off the court. And Conway, we've got it number two right now. I think they're at number two, and they have been for a while. And Farmington stayed within 10 points of them. Now, I understand that you can't always go and compare games. Everybody's different. Every game's different. Every team's different. But just comparing with their schedules overall, and Conway has played a tougher schedule in the big picture. But that's one thing I do want to – we'll kind of see what the results are of this game with Morrilton, whether Morrilton hangs with them tight or not. But also, too, there's a lot of talk about, hey, thankfully that Farmington's going to 5A next year. Nate, I'm not so sure that they're not going to dominate 5A either, yeah, just like they're doing in 4A.
No, I think as long as Brad Johnson is there, they're going to continue to reload. Farmington is, I think, one of the hotter places to live right now. You know, you see the football team is thriving. You know, I left Northwest Arkansas in 2001. There's a huge difference between that era and those, and you see Farmington has grown and grown and grown and has facilities and more athletes. And you go around Washington, Benton County with P Ridge and Gravett and all these schools, Gentry, they all have better facilities. They all have more kids to choose from. That area has grown so much. And, you know, Farmington was one of the first ones to grow really huge outside of Fayetteville. And that's helped everything. But Brad's, you know, two things about him and these other coaches that I mentioned, the same thing applies to him. But first, a great person. Secondly, a terrific coach. And he's been a staple of the title game, and he really has something working with these kids. And just, you know, an overwhelming favorite, you would think. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the game. But if I'm Coach McNabb, I'm taking these comments we're making now and I'm putting them on the locker room board, chalkboard, because
it was public knowledge, so I'll go ahead and say it. If you saw some exchange with Coach McNabb and Farmington fans on Twitter a few months ago, I think that kind of told me there's no love lost. Again, it's public knowledge. I'm just speaking on what we saw, but you can just go check that out.
And she's an old school coach.
She is,
and I respect that about her. I respect the fact that you know, maybe some of those things she doesn't like, and she'll speak out against them. You've got a chance now to maybe also put your money where your mouth is. So,
yeah,
you know, I think that's what you live for if you're a competitor. You know, you are, if you really are a good athlete and coach, you do not worry about the odds and what people are saying as far as, you know, you have no chance to win this. Everybody in that Morrilton locker room thinks they can go out and win this ball game. And they think that because they got here and they've got a coach that they have a lot of confidence in. And I forgot about those comments, but yeah, so that's, and that goes two ways too, because that those comments are on the Farmington dressing room board. So that adds a little bit of spice to this, but I think that's good. And I think both of those, you know, when it goes right down to it, I think they've got respect for each other. But you know,
No
they're
doubt.
fiery competitors, and that's good. And that's why sports is great. I love it. And a little bit of spice and a few comments never hurt anybody. I think it sometimes you feel the need to say something, and she did, and I think it was appropriate to do it at that juncture. But you know, sometimes you know, those come back to you where you've got to, you know, back it up. But I think she's fine with doing it, and probably very eager to go out there and play them. And you know, you just never know what's going to happen. But I think to pick against Farmington, you know, not many people are going to do that. I mean, they've proven that they're very talented and deep and all that. And what they did to Nashville, I think, only speaks to the fact that they're very deep and well coached, and really should be an overwhelming favorite in the ball game.
Then down in Class 3A, it doesn't matter what sport it is. There's always some sort of thrilling moment or moments, as we saw. And there was some in the boys' side too, but we'll talk about the girls for now. First off, I want to give a shout out to my man, Rusty Gardner at Harding Academy. I did not give this team really, I shouldn't say I didn't give Harding Academy a chance, but they were not someone at the beginning of the season. And even as they got just continued to get better as the season went along, I did not see them coming up just 2 points shy of the state finals against the defending state champions. So big shout out, Rusty Garner, good friend of mine, great dude. And they proved me wrong. I think they proved a lot of people wrong. That was certainly one that I think that I probably slept on in Class 3A. Also, too, Mountain View. I don't think that many saw, of course, Caitlin McCarn, the Wichita Baptist signee, playing really, really good ball down the stretch, really played good all year. I don't know that many people saw them beating Jesseville. Of course, Jesseville's got a really young, talented squad. But nonetheless, of all the things that happened, of course, Harding Academy, got a shout out to them too. Mentioned that they also took down previously undefeated Fauk. Nobody had been able to do that this year. They did that before coming up just shy against Salem. But we will get a matchup of the previous two 3A champions. You have your 2022 champion Bergman, who did it at 43-0, taking on Salem, who won their first state title after moving up from 2 to 3A last year. So, Nate, definitely a great matchup between two excellent coaches, and James Halitzka at Bergman, and Josh Bateman at Salem. You think about that, Salem, Josh Bateman and then co there. Had it not been for maybe Melbourne, and I know if ifs and buts are candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, but if it wasn't for Melbourne and some of those great teams, I feel like that the Salem squad would probably have another state title or two, mainly the Melbourne run that they had. But these two teams right here, really over the past two seasons, to me, have set the standard in Class 3A, with all respect to Lamar as well, who made the previous two state finals. I feel like those three teams right there have kind of set the standard, and two of them are playing in the state finals.
You know, this could be the best game of the whole tournament. It might be. You know, you've got the such outstanding coaches, and then the records. You look at those on a collision course to play one another. They've won championships, or been championship games. Think it could be more one of the more underrated games on this slate. If you rank the games, you know, we talk about the bigger classes a lot. Think this is going to be a well-played game with two really good coaches in a chess match. Teams that expect to win, that have won big and have won a lot of games. I don't think a lot of mistakes are made in this game. Well-played game that goes to the fourth quarter, and you roll a dice on who wins it.
You know, and that was the thing too for me is I was looking through this bracket here and just talking about all of the talented teams that we see. And it's, of course, you got the ones, the Salems, the Bergmans, but also Mayflower. was really good this year. Dumas. I just feel like, you know, we always talk about in softball. Jared and I talk about it in softball. You and I have talked about it in football. But it just seems to me, I don't know if it's maybe just my head playing games with me because I talk about it so much, but it just seems that this classification, it just gets deeper and deeper every year, especially with the emergence of Mayflower. And again, I really, we've seen the great progress that the boys have had on the Dumas side. But again, the girls team this year and then what Mayflower did with that great senior class, this class just gets deeper and deeper every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both these teams are kind of, you know, juggernauts and have talent flowing in. And small towns, it's harder to do that, but you've got tradition and you've got kids that are playing seventh grade with the dreams of playing in this game and good coaching staff. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I'll see it on Thursday and looking forward to seeing it.
Then in Class 2A, you've got the matchup of undefeateds, which I believe is the only, if I'm not mistaken, the only matchup, boys or girls, in all 12 matchups that feature two unbeaten teams. You've got defending champion Mount Vernon Enola that is 42-0 on a 46-game win streak dating back to last season. Then you've got the Mansfield Lady Tigers coming in. What is their record? I think it's 32-0, if I could find my little sheet here. Yes, 32-0. So 42-0 MVE against 32-0 Mansfield. And we had Coach Ethan Bowman from Mansfield on the show a couple of weeks ago. And I asked him, I said, look, this was right before the state tournament. I think they were getting regional started. And just hypothetically speaking, you guys get to this point and you play Mount Vernon and Enola. You've got the big three of the Ward sisters, Kinsley and Kaylee, and also Allison Edwards that could match up with Desi McCarty and Marley Raby and AJ Person. The biggest question for Mansfield and pretty much everybody in 2A at this point, can they keep up with the depth? Because MVE has essentially an entirely different starting rotation, at least four different girls on the bench that can come in and pretty much do a lot of the same things at any time. So that's going to be the biggest question is, can they do things like maybe get Desi McCarty or somebody else into foul trouble, try to take away as much as they possibly can, because you've got to just try to take away pieces of this MVE team. You can't stop them. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and depth at that level is not plentiful. I mean, you don't have a lot of teams that have that kind of depth. You know, you talk about great players, and you know, one that you mentioned in this tournament would be Allison Edwards, and we've talked before about her prowess in, you know, three different sports. And not only that, but a winner in the, you know, winning multiple volleyball championships, get the basketball success, softball. That means a lot to have somebody like that. And there's other girls on this team that have won in other sports. I think that helps. I think that helps when you've been in the highest stage in volleyball, big games there, championship type things in this same arena that you're playing in this week. And I think that does help you. But 46 straight games, the longest streak of any team of boys or girls, I believe, in this tournament. That's huge. And, you know, sometimes as a coach, you'd like to maybe lose one going in the tournament, but I don't think anybody on that team would want to lose anything and want to keep it going in the next year. This is another real solid game, I think, and a game where, you know, MVE may wear them down late in the ball game, but I look for Edwards to have a huge game in this game, 1,000-point score. She's got help, but somebody you can hang your hat on to score some in the fourth quarter. But it may, you know, it may not be enough when you've got McCarty and company and you're just throwing bodies at them, which they're able to do. That's going to be a very big challenge for Mansfield.
And last but not least, for the girls in Class 1A, not very much of a surprise here that you get Mammoth Spring and Norfolk Part 3. Now, you got to give a big shout-out to the Concord Lady Pirates. I feel like that they were kind of that one team that really just, other than Norfolk and Mammoth, that really kind of showed that they were a true contender this year. You had some really good ones in there. You know, the Emersons, the Mark Trees, the Wonderviews still. They were still really good teams. But as far as just straight-up state title contenders, that was kind of the question. Can anybody hang with Mammoth Spring and Norfolk? And again, Concord was one of those. They beat Mammoth Spring, and then they stayed within 13 in the semifinals in the rematch. But at the end of the day, it is Mammoth and Norfolk again. These two very, very heralded senior classes. Nate, it seems like these 24 classes for both Norfolk and Mammoth, when you look at Mammoth Spring, Bryn Washam, Tay Davis, Adriana Corbett, and then on the other side, especially Liza Shaddy and Keely Blanchard, it feels like they've been around forever because they have all played in so many state finals, and we've seen them so many times on this stage. So that's just kind of what it boils down to, is not saying that either one of these teams is going to take a major step back. That's remains to be seen next year. But you got to think that for both of these teams, kind of one of those final, well, at least to get another state championship immediately with some of your experienced players, that's really what it comes down to in part three between these two teams.
Yeah, a lot of experience, players on each team that want to go out on top. Small school action, really good here. You know, these last three matchups, really good. And this has another, you know, potential to be another good game on the final day of the tournament.
What I love about these two teams is we know that they are, like, I know that a lot of 1A schools, it's not very common to play past 3A when you go up into the 4 and 5As. But Mammoth Spring, I mean, they've had some really good wins. They've played 4 and 5A schools. I know Norfolk's played some bigger ones as well. So you know that, no doubt, these are not just two of the better teams in Class 1A, but also just the smaller classifications in general. So it's going to be nice to get to see them one last time, again, with these very heralded classes that have made a big name for themselves. And then over on the boys' side, I guess you could say that we probably expected this for the most part, or at least that's what you would have thought. You really had a strong inkling that Bryant was probably going to continue to. I know that they had their 26-game win streak snapped at the hands of North Little Rock. And, Nate, like you said a second ago, sometimes that's not always the worst thing when you have a win streak broken. If you want to have it happen, you want to do it before you get into the tournament. So they had that loss. Played a really good state tournament. You look at they just walloped Bentonville West. Then they handled North Little Rock on their own, floor. And then Little Rock Central, a team that we really felt had a chance to get to this stage last year. And Coach Ross had mentioned that there was plenty of motivation for them coming in. They get over the hump. I think I mentioned that last week, like they hadn't been before. It's their first state title appearance. What was it, since 21? So they've been very recently. Of course, they split that one in 2020. So going to be a banger of a matchup between these two 6A Central foes. We talked about the dominance of the Central on the girls' side. Three of the four teams in the semifinals on the boys' side were from the Central Conference. And now we're going to get another matchup between Little Rock Central and Bryant, two teams that played each other close during the regular season, but Bryant came out on top in both of those.
A couple things about Bryant. I thought it may be the worst thing that could happen to North Little Rock because they beat them a few weeks ago. Maybe they chose the wrong one to win. But that atmosphere was really good on Saturday night, and I thought Bryant may have a hard time winning. I liked North Little Rock kind of as an underdog, dark horse. And Bryant just came out and really left no doubt in the game. They never let him in the game, really closed the door on him early, and were focused, played well. There's an adage that says it's hard to beat, three teams twice. I saw a story that said something that really the odds are, when you look at that, are not that. That's an adage, but maybe in the numbers game isn't really true. And I read that, but I do think there's something when you've played somebody twice, you played them in a close proximity, like in conference, then you got to come back and play them again. Central's dangerous because Ann Arbor Boateng's one of the best players in the country, very close to being a McDonald's All-American. But what Bryant's done all year long is they've played together. They play good defense. They don't have a dominant big man, or really a big man period, but their guards play big. They rebound well. They play great together. It's going to be the same thing that the other two games is they're going to try to play tight defense on Boateng, know where he is at all times. And Kellen Robinson is going to be the focal point for them on offense, but they've got RJ Young and a couple other guys that can score, but Robinson back in the lineup after being hurt for a while. He's the kind of guy that that thrives on moments like this. You know, that to having a big game in a game like this, he's waited a long time being at Episcopal. He's seen his brother KK have shots at big games and play in college, playing at Little Rock right now, and going to be in the OVC tournament with a favorite there. He'd like to etch his name in history and win one, being the, you know, the top player on this team. And I think to also maybe help his recruiting, because I don't know that he is a high caliber recruit at this point. I think you having a big game in this game against Boateng would definitely help his college stock. But I like both, you know, the way both these coaches coach. Abramson's been around a long time and had some Bryant teams that weren't too good, and he stuck with it, got to the title game and ran into Jalen Williams at Northside. He's got a legitimate good shot to win this game. And it's going to be like all these. It's going to come down to, you know, who makes less mistakes. There's going to be another chess match here. I don't think these teams are really too fond of one another. After the last game, there was a couple of skirmishes and some talking back and forth, and I think they made up a little bit, but it's going to be intense, and it's going to come down, you know, like I said, who can execute and how good a defense can Bryant play? Can they keep Central off the boards? They've done that in the other two games. That's going to be something that the Tigers are going to have to change. But Boateng is also due for a huge game, I think, in this series, and could get it done also down there in Hot Springs.
And then the dominance of Class 5, or the 5A South, the South Conference in Class 5A, continues. We had three teams from the South Conference that made the semifinals. And then for the second consecutive season, we've got an all-South state championship. Last year it was Pine Bluff and Lake Hamilton. This is going to be Bryant's Saline County members, Benton, who has just been on a tear in Class 5A this year. They are going to again take on the Pine Bluff Zevers, whom they have taken down twice this year. And Nate, it was really a question of when we started really doing the basketball coverage at the beginning of January, we knew that Benton had a really good a really good non-conference schedule. Fared pretty well in the King Cotton Classic, played really well in their other non-conference games, but could they continue it throughout the conference season? That was the biggest question after they had really just the bottom fell out for them last year. And they answered those questions and more, and really there's just one more step to getting there. I think this would be their first ever state championship in basketball, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I definitely got to tip your hat to Dexter Hendricks and what they've done there. I know Terrion Burgess has obviously been a big piece of that, but what they've had around him has just been key, and the Benton Panthers has been as consistent as any team in the state thus far.
Have they been to a title game? I don't know if they have.
I don't believe so.
No. You know, and Dexter Hendricks is special for him. He played there. Was a good player, played at Arkansas Tech, back at your alma mater, you know, leading them. I know they're awfully proud. And I saw the Saline County shootout game. They did not play well in that game. You know, Burgess has 17 in the first half, 5 in the second, and really didn't have much help. But I think Elam Shelby and company, these guys have rallied around Burgess. And, you know, I did not – after that game, I kind of wondered about him, but that was also before we knew that Bryant was a juggernaut in 6A and going to be playing in a championship game. So again, you have Saline County teams in championship games, you know, and deep runs, like in football, deep runs with Benton and Bryant, and now with men's basketball. But let's talk about Pine Bluff a minute. Courtney Crutchfield hits one of the better shots I've seen in a high school basketball game, and then makes a case, I think, among the media as maybe being one of the best athletes ever to play sports here. And you've got a guy that graduated from the same high school in Basil Shabazz, I still think is the best. But Crutchfield's putting his name in there prominently with what he's done, and a guy who's played 4 sports in high school at different times hits a shot like that. And I told you off the air, it didn't look like there's any doubt in his mind that shot was going in. It was from 40 feet out, and he finessed in off the backboard, but shot that with a tremendous amount of confidence. I don't know how this game goes. Part of me thinks that Pine Bluff can maybe win it. You're the defending champions. They battled injuries. But then you look at and they've been there before, which Benton hasn't. But then you look at just how well Benton's playing together, and the fact that I don't think that the Pine Bluff has a great matchup for Burgess. And so being 6'8", and being able to play inside and outside, if he has one of those monster games, 35 points and 12 rebounds that he's capable of, and I don't know if they can stop him. But the thing is, you got to do it one night. It doesn't matter what you did before, you've got to do it on this night. And the advantage they have is they played in this game, and they've got a lot of guys that are veterans, and that may show out. Some of those guys that are the supporting cast at Benton, you wonder how they're going to react to the bright lights of this game. So there's a lot of things at work here, but you look at the first two matchups, and Benton won them without much problem. So it's going to be really interesting. But Pine Bluff with a healthy Courtney Crutchfield, and the fact that they won the game like that, has a lot of momentum going into this one.
Yeah, I definitely would be remiss if I didn't bring Crutchfield's performance and also Ty Robinson. I don't think we realize how blessed we were to get so many games with Ty Robinson and Courtney Crutchfield. Ty put up 49 and 15 in his final in a loss.
Yeah.
They still lost. I mean, just there's a lot of talk. People are trying to get impressions on social media, and there's all these different talks about who's the best and all this jargon. Like, I don't really get involved in all that, but at the end of the day, like I said, Nate, the fact that we got to watch matchups between those two, multiple matchups for so many different years, I think that we don't understand it now how blessed we truly were. We might a little bit next year.
Hey, and since you brought that up, I'll say this about Robinson. Florida Atlantic's getting a steal. I think he's the victim of the portal game with high school kids. Think he should be going to a bigger school. Of course, Florida Atlantic also went to the Final Four last year, so there's nothing wrong. And there's also nothing wrong with going to school in Boca Raton, Florida, I think is where that Florida Atlantic is. So kudos to him. Also going to say, Boateng is probably a lot of people's vote for the best player. He was a Gatorade Player of the Year last year. He is a borderline McDonald's All-American. But I don't know that there's a lot of difference between those two guys. I think that the and you and you Burgess is in that mix too. I don't think there's a lot of difference between Burgess and Robinson. I think that he's a great player. He played big in big games. He scored a lot of points and put his team on his back. He's a guy that I think in the scouting circles is underrated. And he's played well against in some big, against good competition. But I'll just say you'd mentioned Burgess and you mentioned Boateng, some of the best recruits. Robinson's in the same conversation, in my opinion.
Speaking of underrated players, there would be some that would say Lane Taylor from Farmington is not just the most underrated player in the state, but one of the more underrated players in the country. I think that when you look at his stats alone, there's no question about that. I mean, what his ability, his IQ of the game, there's so many things that you could say, but he is leading a Farmington team against a lot of proven prospects. When you think about Landron Blocker, who's going to play college basketball, Jamil Wesley, who's going to play college basketball, and JJ Andrews is going to be able to do whatever the heck he wants at a basketball level. It doesn't matter whether it's college or he wants to go to the G League or whatever the case may be. There's multiple guys that are going to get to essentially and obviously Landron and Jamil, they've already signed their letters of intent, but you look at JJ Andrews, and then it doesn't stop there. And it doesn't stop with Lane on Farmington either. But my point is, you've got an incredibly intriguing, talented prospect that many feel is criminally nationally underrated. I would probably be at that camp as well. Maybe not so from a national scene, but definitely statewide scene in Lane Taylor. But against, again, a proven team that has also won a state championship, that's coming off of a state championship victory. So, Johnny Taylor, when Lane was a wee little lad, he won a state title as the head coach at Rosebud. That was actually my senior year. And he's trying to do it again with this Farmington team that's been close many, many times. But Blyville has been one of those teams that got in their way. Of course, Little Rock Christian last year again won the 4A state championship. But Coach Johnny Taylor trying to get another one, and also with his son before Lane heads to North Texas.
Lane Taylor's situation is something that really frustrates me, because You know why he's at North Texas? Because he's 6 foot tall.
No doubt.
6'1".
Yeah.
If he was 6'4", Arkansas would have recruited him. Other SEC teams, Big 12. But it's the 4 inches or the 3 inches. I think he's going to have a chance to go to North Texas and come out of the portal because people are going to see that he can make threes at 6 feet or 6'4", and he's a dead-eye shooter. And that's something that's a lost art these days. How much could Arkansas use that right now, somebody that can come in the game and knock down threes? You know, I don't know what Arkansas's interest level was in him, but if they didn't offer him some kind of preferred walk-on gig, I think that's not good. But like we talked about, the portal is what's driving college basketball or college sports in general right now. So, you know, Robinson got a little, underlooked, and so is Lane Taylor. But, man, you know, I talked to scouts and people that do this stuff for a living, and they said, you know, this guy is a talented player that is a high caliber, you know, college athlete, college, you know, Division One, high caliber player. It's frustrating because now it's all about analytics and numbers and this stuff. And I will just say this, you know, and I've been around for 25 years. I mean, almost, I've said this once, I'll say it a million times. If you can play, you can play. I mean, if you're a 6 foot linebacker, says 6'3", but you are a stud like Samuel Ojibwutu was at 5'9", 5'10", that guy's one of the best linebackers that Arkansas has ever seen, all SEC, and he did not fit the conventional prototype of a linebacker, did he? But then look what he did. There's too many examples of guys that don't fit that cookie cutter mold, but if you watch them and you see them, you can tell they can play. So I don't know why you would not take a chance on him. Kudos to North Texas for doing it. And I think he's going to take that and run with it and be a terrific, you know, mid-major player and maybe get a chance to go somewhere else. Like we've seen other guys, if he wants to do that. This is a great opportunity for him to shine on a stage that is full of gems, full of guys that are very highly recruited, with pedigrees and acclaim. And he can play with them. He belongs on the same court with them. The one thing I'll say about JJ Andrews, that guy's an NBA player. He is. We can skip all the way through. You mentioned G League and all that. He is destined to be an NBA guy if everything works out with his health and everything else. There's a lot of ifs and buts and intangibles and things that can happen, but I have not seen a kid last year, 14 years old, that looked like him. And, you know, you look at Nick Smith, he's playing in the NBA right now after 1 year. How much more developed physically is JJ Andrews than Nick Smith was at 14, 15 years old? Nick was very skilled, but so is JJ Andrews. And he's got that air game, that flying through the air, the dunking, the strength. You know, mom was an athlete, track athlete. Dad was a Pro Bowl offensive tackle and one of the top tackles in America, you know, in college football with Sean, you know, and Andrews, his dad, with Razorbacks. So I think he is one of those generational type players. I think the biggest question with him, and I don't think anybody has asked him this, is, are you going to come back next year? I know it's be a question that after this game would be answered, asked to him, because was not challenged in the conference season, really. I mean, I think Robinson had one or, you know, two games, but they went to a lot of gyms and ran people out of it. And I don't know if that's something he's interested in continuing to do for 2 years, or he might follow Blocker's older brother to the prep school route. I don't think anybody would blame him. Now, he can play anywhere. He can play at a 1A school, and he's going to have offers from everywhere and have a chance to do the G League or OT overtime or whatever he wants to do. But, you know, maybe he wants to go somewhere where he's going to be playing against the best players in the country, playing in these big tournaments and that kind of thing. So, I've not heard anything about that at all, but I think that's a question that if they win the game, it will definitely be asked to him in the press conference after the ball game. But he is a generational talent. I don't ever recall Kyle seeing a ninth grader that was as athletic and dominant as he is, and it's only gotten more this year. And you're talking about 15-year-old kid, 6'6", and is it like 215 or something right now? And I don't think he's done growing yet. You know, his dad was 6'8 and 365 in college. He's not going to be that big, but he is very muscular and could, you know, be even taller. So just a phenomenal athlete.
Then down in Class 3A, this one has a little bit more sentimental meaning to me because my CAC Mustangs are going to be in their first ever state finals, going to be taking on the defending runner-up Bergman, who lost in overtime of the very last state championship game last year. This turned out to be just an incredible thriller between them and Manila. But Nate, the CAC team, we had a feeling that they were on one of our top eight teams to watch. They made that run to the quarterfinals last year. And prior to Saturday night, they had only played in the semifinals one other time. That was 94-95, and then 2006-2007, which was my junior year. We lost to Quentin Pippen, who is now an assistant at Community College in Mississippi. That's, of course, Scottie Pippen's nephew. Lost to them in Hamburg. But the Mustangs got over the hump this time around thanks to a great layup. Sam Maddox, who is just one of the best shooters in the state, kind of just threw up a floater at the free throw line, got his own rebound, and basically handed the ball to Grayson Wilson, who was right under the basket. And Grayson just basically put it up, 3 seconds left, and the rest is history. CAC wins 50-48. So definitely happy for Matt Hall and co for what they've been able to do. Again, as my alma mater, I'm proud, but a really good run for CAC because they won 20 in a row, had a couple of hiccups there around district and regionals, but they have made that run to the state finals for the first time in school history, taking on a very established Bergman program.
A lot of credit to the entire CAC team, and a guy that particularly impressed with is Wilson. A four-star, he just was named four-star football recruit, has a lot more to lose than gain by playing other sports. You know, a lot of guys that are heralded quarterbacks are going to be out on the practice field throwing routes or in the weight room. You know, he's getting ready to play baseball too. You know, that's delayed. This has delayed his baseball season. And, you know, K-Bo, our baseball guru, says he could be a Division I baseball player if he concentrated on that. And he's a game away from being a state champion in basketball. So you got to like a guy that'll do that. And Arkansas is not a state that produces a lot of three-sport guys. You know, we mentioned, Courtney Crutchfield has played four sports in high school at different times. But we are a state, you know, we also cover Iowa. I'm in charge of them. There's three or four guys that played, that are Iowa Hawkeye commits that played basketball this year and at a high level in the state tournament. We don't really have a lot of that here. If you're a football player, by the time you're in high school, a lot of times you specialize. You got guys quitting football to play baseball like Kel Busby. And you got a lot of guys that are just playing basketball. Some of these basketball guys we mentioned, and you look at a guy like Andrews, what could he do on the football field? You know, if he played, his dad's an all-pro offensive lineman, would be a great receiver, defensive end type, if he chose to do it. So he is a unicorn in Arkansas, playing three sports and also being a four-star guy. But the guy you mentioned, Sam, you know, I know a lot of people at CAC have given him a lot of credit on this team to being kind of the star and you know, makes a nice play there at the end, a heady play to win the ball game for them.
And probably speaking of good stories, probably one of the more impressive stories of the entire tournament is one of East Poinsett County, one that I thought, you know, I kind of did some research from last year and looked at what they had coming back. And I was like, okay, a lot of these guys, similar to Bigelow, who until at least this weekend is the defending 2A champion, have had a lot of guys that played on the football team. And, of course, Bigelow beat East Poinsett County in early December in the state finals, which hindered a lot of these guys starting basketball. So they get basketball started, and on January 27th, East Poinsett County was just over 500. They were 10-9. They've now won 11 of their last 13. So I would definitely say that was probably the heralded group that the unheralded group that nobody expected to be here. And as coincidental as it was, they beat Bigelow again, who won the state championship last year and then also beat EPC in the football state finals. They won 75-76, EPC did, to set up a matchup with defending runner-up Marshall. So Marshall will get another chance after Bigelow just went on that big run in the fourth quarter, and then Marshall lost the state championship, gets another chance at East Poinsett County, a really hot East Poinsett County team.
A lot of good athletes there, known for that in EPC. Did a good job in football. I think that was just a case of them having to get over the football season a little bit. It's hard for smaller schools when you've got a good supporting cast, that have to put the football helmets away and then go play basketball. And there is a different kind of shape, as you know, football shape and basketball shape. You can be in tremendous condition on the football field, basketball, the running. Yeah, you've seen a lot of football players that are blowing wind when they start basketball. This team is hot and dangerous, I think, at this point. And don't know who the favorite you'd consider in this game, but definitely a hot team coming in.
Yeah, I think that's something that we bring it up on this show a decent bit, but that's something that's not really considered. Like, for instance, CAC, they were waiting on – I remember after CAC beat Nashville in the second round of the football playoffs, I went up to Matt Hall and I said, well, you're going to have to wait another week before you get Jacob Henry, before you get Deuce Williams, before you get Grayson Wilson. Talked to Hunter Robinson at Rivercrest, who went to the quarterfinals in 3A and lost to CAC. Very similar situation because those Rivercrest guys had just played in the state finals. So that's kind of something that's not really talked about a whole lot, is just having to adjust to making a deep run in football and then coming into basketball season. And that is a very similar case, which is a great segue to 1A, where we have Mark Tree, who we've talked about many times, Nate. So Mark Tree's football team went to the semifinals this past fall, and we have said until we were blue in the face that it's really hard to find male or female team, a male or female team that is more motivated than what Mark Tree probably is, considering how they lost the state finals on that final buzzer beater by Cooper Watson last year. And they obviously channeled that very well and used it in the right ways, used that motivation the way that they should have, and they are now in the state finals against a Nevada team that is probably, at least post-COVID, not as well known as they were before. So 2019, you may remember, Izard County beat them for the 1A state championship. The next year in 2020, which was basically about this time 4 years ago, when right before the world got shut down, this was, I think it was two or three games that they were able to play before the state championships just had to be split because they weren't able to play them due to COVID. But Nevada got their revenge 48-47 over Izard County in 2020. So a program that I would say is established being Nevada, but maybe just not so if you just started following basketball in the post-COVID era.
Right, yeah. And Mark Tree, you know, mentioned the buzzer beater. They've got a lot of momentum. Motivation is what I meant to say. A lot of motivation to come back. You know, I've not experienced this, but talking to players and coaches, you lose a game like that or you get to the finals and you don't play well, that sits there forever. I mean, I don't think it ever leaves you until you start the season again. I think you're in the weight room in the summer, you're playing in summer camps. That's in the back of your mind. And I don't think it ever leaves until you can start the next year. I think you're a competitive player. It sits in your craw, it sits in the back of your mind, and it irritates you and it nips at you. And in some cases, it motivates you to work harder. You're in that weight room getting that extra set, or you're running an extra wind sprint in a hot gym in the summer. It's pushing you to get back there, and they have a chance to right a wrong from last year and win one. And I think this will be another good game too.
And you can catch that game along with the other 11 that we will have throughout Thursday through Saturday. Of course, the games will be on PBS Arkansas or Arkansas PBS, as well as 103.7 The Buzz Radio Network. But we will have our live updates. If you're not able to get near a TV, near a radio, or just want to go back and look through, I know that that's something I've talked to a couple people of feedback on, you know, the live update system that we've used. And I know that there's sometimes where people just like to go back, hey, what happened in the third quarter? What led to this 20-3 run, or what led to this team cutting it to single digit points to make a comeback? That's kind of what those are good for. And then we've gotten a lot of good response from those live updates, and we'll be doing those throughout the state finals. Of course, you can check that out on the website, scorebooklive.com/Arkansas. And after that, Nate, we'll do our recap next week, and then we are of the state finals, and then we're fully in to baseball and softball.
That's right. Yeah. Those games are already starting. And let me just add about the live updates. When that game is over, the updates are still there, and you can read a recap of the game. Plus, you'll have photos there and video from the post-game press conference or the celebration afterward, but fresh video. So watch the updates during the game, especially if you're at work and you can't get to the TV or the radio, or watch the TV or listen to the radio and look at the updates. But then for sure, after the game, check that recap out, check that video out. There'll be, in some case, some highlight videos. There's going to be interviews with the coaches and players after. But complete wall-to-wall blanket coverage on this. The live updates, the wave of the future for SB Live Sports. We're the only ones doing – well, not the only ones doing it, but probably one of the most comprehensive doing it in different sports. And – not just in, you know, you won't just see this in title games in the future. You're going to see this in regular season games as well. Kind of a wave of what's to come. So we hope you enjoy that. And the archive part of this is, like you said, that's the most unique thing, because if you don't see it live, you can go back and look at it and then read that fresh recap at the top. So we're excited about that. Excited to bring all 12 games to you. But we do encourage you to listen and watch our friends from the Buzz and PBS as well.
And like I said, we'll have that recap of each game next week as we close out basketball coverage. Of course, we'll have our all-state teams coming out after that, and then the final Power 25 rankings. But if you're a softball and baseball fan, you certainly don't want to stop following yet, because we'll have the both baseball and softball coverage, the episodes from that, along with what we do in softball and baseball, which is our Super 7 rankings. Go from the Power 25 to the Super 7 rankings. So be sure and check all that out on scorebooklive.com/Arkansas, or you can download the SB Live app and have it on the palm of your hand. But that will do it for episode number 111 of Arkansas Prep Extra. For Nate Olson and all of us here at SB Live, my name's Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next week.